beloved radio friends, we greet you in the precious and the worthy name of the Lord Jesus, rejoicing in the privilege as well as the holy opportunity and the responsibility of bringing before your heart and before your conscience the blessed truth of the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have noted the personal promise of the Lord Jesus Himself from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. We have also noted the confirmation of the angels recorded in chapter 1 of the book of the Acts, verses 10 and 11. We have noted the teaching of the apostles. One particular apostle only have we touched upon, the writing of the Apostle Paul, from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51 and 52, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and chapter 4, we have noted the words of the beloved apostle in divine revelation and by divine inspiration, telling again of the promise of the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. We go to some other apostles briefly today. Let's consider the Apostle Peter. Did Peter write concerning the coming again of our Lord Jesus? Let me read in 1 Peter chapter 1 these words in verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved, even in the midst of trials and difficulties and perplexities and persecution, the beloved Apostle Peter, writing in regard to the testings of faith for the believer, assures that believer the trials of faith will be rewarded when? At the coming of Jesus Christ. Let me go to verse 13 with you, if you please. As we look at verse 13 of the same chapter, the apostle saying, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end. Notice it, hope to the end. And what is the end? Listen to it. For the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. My beloved, let me tell you this. The believer has a hope, a blessed hope. And that blessed hope, we should hold on to it indeed. As Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind. Don't get discouraged. Be sober and vigilant. Hope to the end. Why? What's the end? The coming of the Lord. I tell you one thing, if I didn't know the Lord was coming, I'd want to end my life down here. But, beloved, I don't have to feel that way. I know the end. I've got a blessed hope at the end of this pilgrimage. It's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me go to chapter 5. In this same epistle of Peter, the first epistle, chapter 5. And listen to the words of the beloved apostle as he writes even to the elders whom he encourages to feed the flock of God. When the chief shepherd shall appear, verse 4, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. What would be the use of serving the Lord? What would there be in it unless there is a future honor? There is a future reward. There is a future glory that is promised. But when? At the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. When the chief shepherd shall appear. Shall I not go to 2 Peter? There in 2 Peter chapter 1, please let me say, reading the words that Peter has written concerning that wonderful scene of the transfiguration. He says in verse 16, we've not followed devised or cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty, for we received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice we heard, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. Ah, oh, my beloved, please know what He says in verse 16 at the end. We were eyewitnesses of His majesty when He will come in power and glory. What a testimony. Let me go to chapter 3 in the second epistle of Peter. Once again, the beloved apostle speaks of it. May I say in verse 4, Know what he says in verse 4. There are those who say, skeptically, where is the promise of his coming? Please let me go to verse 8 with you. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For the day of the Lord will come, as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works of the therein shall be burned up, and so on. Verse 12, he says, looking, be looking for, and hasting unto the coming, even of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth and abideth righteousness. My beloved, please, what more testimony do we need? Here is Paul, and here is Peter, both telling us in detail and emphatically, he's coming again. But oh, let me go to the words of the Apostle James, if you please. May I read it in the words of the beloved Apostle James in chapter 5? Note the words of James in the 5th chapter. We find him saying, as we read in verse 5, we read from verse 7, verse 7 in chapter 5 of James, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. My beloved, listen. Here's the dearly beloved Apostle James writing to those, many of them who were rich, many of them who were oppressing the poor, but he's writing to those who were the oppressed ones, begging them to be patient, to suffer willingly whatever endurance must be theirs to pass through, knowing that the day would come when there would be a reclamation, and when there would be a compensation for those who suffer. And he said, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Oh, what joy to realize we can patiently wait. When he comes, the wicked will be punished. The godly, the sufferings will indeed be over for them. And the coming of the Lord will make complete and perfect adjustment. But then I want you to go with me to the Epistle of John. Ah, that beloved Epistle of John. Please let me read in chapter 2 of the first Epistle of John these words, verse 28. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Ah, beloved, even John writes that when he comes, the beloved believers should not be ashamed to meet him, so living for his honor and glory. Look with me in chapter 3, please. Let me quote the words you have in verse 2 as well as in verse 3. Lovely words. Beloved, now are we the sons of God? It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. My beloved, here again is the testimony of the Apostle John. Please may I remind you, these were all by divine revelation. But go with me to the Epistle of Jude, please, just before the book of the Revelation. Strange to say that the Apostle Jude writes of words, the very first uttered prophecy of the second coming, spoken, strange to say, by Enoch, the seventh from Adam. Read the words in verse 14 and 15 of the Epistle of Jude. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied concerning these apostates to whom he's referring the preceding words, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. My beloved, look, he's not only coming for his people, he's coming again to punish the wicked. And I'd like to add a word of solemn condemnation. When you think of the wicked that are prospering today, when you think of the moral wickedness and lawlessness that is abounding and increasing on every hand, let me say to you, my beloved fellow believer, faint not. When Jesus comes, he will destroy the wicked. But the righteous, they'll go into life eternal. My beloved friend, unsaved, we raise the question, are you saved? Why not? But let me read a word, just one verse in Revelation chapter 1. The great theme of the book of the Revelation in chapter 1 and verse 7 declares, as though it gathers all the promises of the coming of the Lord together in one sentence. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, even they that pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen, writes the Apostle John. Let me recapitulate, my friend. We have taken from the Word of God promises of the Lord's return. We have found his own personal promise that he would come again. We have considered the testimony of the angels, their angelic confirmation, as we saw it in chapter 1 of the book of the Acts, by the Spirit of God revealing it to us there. We have also seen it not only there, we have followed it in the teaching of the apostles, from Paul, from Peter, from James, from Jude, from John, and from the book of the Revelation, the last book in the Bible. My beloved friend, we raise the question, do you really believe that Jesus is coming again? Do you really believe that Jesus is coming again? Do I really believe that Jesus is coming again? And may I be reminded, I know not the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh according to his own words. But that he's coming, it is a fact. Now when he comes, it will mean one or two things. It will either mean blessing eternal for those who know him as their Savior, or it will mean judgment eternal for those who know him not. My beloved friend, we ask you to think of Jesus coming again and what it may mean to you. Father, by the Holy Spirit, sanctify and take the message with convicting power to every heart, in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.